Welcome, Dr. Sean Steele podcast. Here it is. Sean, I'll give it to you to introduce our guest of honor today.
Now, this is a special occasion. We love it. I'm on the right next to the ocean wannabe, although it's a little bit shaky at the end. Alex is in a real room with a real background. Sam is always real, realer than life. We'd like to tell you we're broadcasting from Hawaii for our annual Hawaii seminar, but it's too hot there, so we ruled it out. So we're here in California. Sam Collins is our most popular speaker. Sam Collins should be the most popular chiropractic speaker in the country because Sam knows more about PI billing, billing in general, getting paid, dealing with insurance companies, strange reasons. And he's honest, he's candid. We just gave him a case last week from one of our favorite doctors of all time. And we didn't tell him who it was. And he looked at the billing and he just tore it to 1,000 shreds. And we warned the doctor ahead of time. Hey, look, if you want Sam to look at it, he's going to tell you the truth. And it turns out the doctor is the luckiest person in the world to have gotten paid a penny because everything about his billing code was wrong. And we're not going to mention any names, but it's still we learned so much. From Sam all the time. So today, what's missing in your PI claims in terms of billing and coding? That's really what we want to explore. So Sam's got some surprises for us that I haven't seen before. We're looking forward to what, Sam, tell us about PI billing and what we need to know. We only have 30 minutes.
Well, what I want to tell you, in fact, let me get something set up here for Alex. I think we're good now, Alex, is that personal injury is, in my opinion, and by the way, I teach all over. I mean, I'm everywhere, Sean. I had offices from Puerto Rico, New York, because we're virtual. So I'm getting a lot of stuff going in here and a lot of things about personal injury. And I will still say, regardless of what you hear, personal injury is still the last place where you truly can get paid the value of your service. The usual, customary, and reasonable, what's fair. What we have to make sure is, are we doing the right things that we don't get any pushback? And that's the part I deal with. I want to make sure, one, we get it right to start with. We don't have a pushback on it. But when we do, we know that we're in the right and we can fight back on it. Because, of course, you know, insurance companies have a job. Their job is to make money for their company, not us. Therefore, they're going to do what they can. We want to eliminate the low-hanging fruit that they often pick on us, where we run into problems. And so that's what I really want to kind of emphasize to them is that how do we do that from the coding billing standpoint? And that's what I want to focus on.
Okay. That's going to be terribly important because I've seen a lot of docs just kind of swim through this thing with the ICD-10s, trying to work out the CPTs. And it's something that is just becomes more baffling as doctors try to do it, plus with their staff. We're doing something a little special in Orange County, which we haven't ever tried before. Alex, a good-looking guy at the bottom of the screen, me, and John Tallion are going to be doing lunchtime programs about how to open up a PI case. And that, it's not for the doctors, it's for the staff, because staff constantly changes. And so, you know, maybe one person knew what an assignment of benefits was. Maybe they understood what a lien was or how to bill MedPay, but when you get to the second and third and fourth generation and the doctor stops teaching the new staff members how to do stuff, it's forgotten completely. And they don't even understand the simplicity between and the reasoning for these documentations. So we're taking orders for that one. We're kind of excited about that. It's going to get me out of the office, going to have lunch with docs, basically with staff. And we'll see if we can expand. But first, we start with Orange County. Sam, you don't get to do that, but you get to teach all over the country. You and I teach at Palmer West. I think you're at Southern California University.
I'm at Southern California. I'm at Life, but I'm at Life now, Life in California, Life in Georgia. I do Palmer also in Iowa. So I've expanded because we've had so many more people looking. Because here's the thing, in order to have a good practice, you have to be diversified. And so you got to do a lot of things. And the one thing I will always go back to is personal injury. When doctors aren't accessing it. Now, the key, Sean, you know what I'd say, one of the key factors is, you can't assume every accident is a good claim. You've got to do a little bit of look to make sure, because there's nothing more frustrating for me when someone says, oh my goodness. And here's an example. I had this a few weeks ago within our network. This doctor had a bill. It was about $8,000. It didn't appear to be unreasonable to me at all. Severity of the impact, all these things went on. The problem was he was being offered literally $1,000. And he's like, this is ridiculous. And he wanted to fight. Here was the problem. No one looked and found out what the other party had for insurance. And while the patient was insured, they didn't have uninsured motorists or underinsured motorists anyway, no med pay. The other party had a 1530 policy. Therefore, the case was worth $100,000. But how much did they get paid? $15,000. And so hence, when you start cutting that bill up, and they're mad at the attorney, and I'm like, look, the attorney would love to pay you. But because if they could pay you, they'd get more. So one of the things to look at is look at the claim. You've said it many times, Sean. You have to look, is there a policy here that actually is going to pay? Because if I do hundreds of thousands of dollars of service, and there's a $30,000 policy, that's money going down the toilet, quite frankly.
And Sam, we gotta put a little bit of the onus on that attorney, because if an attorney's doing their job right on the PI standpoint, they're communicating with that chiropractor early and often and saying things like, hey, we got a 1530 policy here, or even before, let's say we don't know what the policy is yet. Hey, our client, your patient, has no UM, no UIM, no med pay, pump the brakes. We don't know what the other guy has.
Here's the problem. I won't mention who this person's name is, but it might be Jim and rhyme with sweet. And I'm not trying to disparage anyone, but this was, and I thought, how did this place not let them know?
Right.
Why didn't they? And I've got to say, I don't know fully, but I'm going, that's not fair to you if you're referring someone to say, hey, look, there's a minimum here, but this person needs help.
Right.
And of course, when did they discover it?
Sam, to answer that question, why don't attorneys tell docs what's going on? First of all, it's not heard of. No, attorneys are too important. They're too busy to talk to a chiropractor. Secondly, so it doesn't even occur to them. You should just trust the attorney to do his job and quit asking questions. Secondly, they're just too busy. They really believe they're too busy. They got to deal with the harder stuff. They might actually have to talk to a client every now and then. Well, that's frightening. So the attorneys are in another world for the most part. What we do is a little bit different. Every single case, without fail, I call the chiropractor, well, usually the same day that we get the document. We sign up the case, and I tell the doctor exactly what I know. It may be not much information, it may be a lot of information, but I'll tell them what the odds are. I say, we have a 1530 policy. We know that for sure, no med pay. So at least we have a foundation of 15. However, the defendant, we don't know about their insurance, but it's a late model Lexus, and he lives in a gated community in Newport Beach. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. I think there might be some decent insurance. I'm not sure, but I'll get with you as soon as we find out. And I'll find out in 2-4 weeks at the latest. In the meanwhile, you have all the care you need. Well, 1 month we can sustain it for sure. The 1530 policy is going to do it. I've got to tell doctors this all the time. Otherwise, they're going to be an unguided missile. They may be doing too much work or too little work when the patient deserves a lot more.
This is exactly, Sean, why doctors have to do things that are a little bit investigation. I'm going to say CSI chiropractic, a little bit, meaning be mindful. You've mentioned for years something called a MIST, M-I-S-T, minor impact soft tissue. That's definitely part of what you have to look at. But you know what I also think doctors need to look at? What I call A, T as in Tom, N as in Nancy, ATN, the Attorney Trust Network. Do I have an attorney that I've worked with or someone has that is viable, trustworthy, if you will, because you have to start to judge if you're dealing with it. I'll say it sounds bad, but if you're dealing with what I call the billboard TV attorney, they cut bills like, you cut a piece of pie, very easy. And I'm not trying to discount, but I think a lot of these places play fast and loose. They're paying a lot in ads. They got to get it from somewhere. So you've got to look too, going, okay, what's going on here? If the attorney is not giving you the things like the liability, the specifics, meaning the police report, you don't have pictures to the car, then that's telling you there's something wrong, because why are they hiding it? If, like you said, you may not know immediately. So this is where I will say, you got to go back and lay the case out. You're going to help the patient. You're doing a heck of a job. You're spending a lot of time. Some of these attorneys spend all of 5 minutes signing the patient up and let you run like crazy. And then later say, oh, the case blew up. We dropped that claim.
That's the greatest. There's a lot of ways of insulting and taking advantage of doctors. The worst one is to, they refer you a terrible case, a slip and fall, which is always dangerous because there's no police report. Sometimes, most of the time, witnesses are lacking. The injuries could be rather nasty. But if it turns out with you know, due investigation, Ralph's Market says, I'm sorry, there's nothing here. We don't believe it. We got video cameras. We can show that the person slipped on purpose. It really wasn't much of a fall. He just kind of leaned over. The case is dead. And the trouble is the attorney costs, how much does it cost him to refer a case to a doctor? Nothing. Takes a little bit of time. In fact, he makes himself look good. Oh, I know a doctor will take your case. You know what they also say? I know a doctor take your case, and if it doesn't work out, he won't bill you. He won't charge you for it. Well, boy, now you're being really set up. You're basically a free doctor.
Free clinic.
And it's a free clinic syndrome. That's not what your mom sent you to school for. And you've been ripped off and insulted at the same time. Here's the best part. They don't even tell you they dropped the case until a year afterwards. And then you call, nice and convenient, just like you said, Sam, and you call and say, well, what's going on with the case? Oh, we dropped that dog a year ago. Now you've got $3,000 in medicals, you did all that work, all that documentation, all that free labor. That just is unacceptable. That's the last time you should ever work with that attorney. That attorney has really screwed you.
So well, rumor has it, Sam, you've got some new content for us. We got 20 minutes left, and I'm dying to see it.
Let's do that. I'm just saying, have a system in place where you get these things worked out, whether it's staff or otherwise. So a little bit of some new things I want to hit on, and I'm going to tell you just as a quick warning to everyone. In October, there's going to be diagnosis codes updates to back pain, as well as there'll be a code for arthritis of the spine without x-ray, meaning that a doctor can evaluate. So guess where you should be coming, an H.J. Ross seminar, or we'll be doing one with Sean Steele in October as well, where all these new codes will be out. So just kind of a bit of warning. Don't worry now, because they don't change till October 1st, but you want to be on top of it. As you well know, and this is something, if you've ever attended a seminar with me or Sean, you've heard me talk about this at length. So first things first, for anyone, if there is something you're looking for, needing, you can always reach out to me. Here's my email, sam@hjrossnetwork.com. We're always going to be your resource. Trust me, we're here to help. We do offer a service called the Network, where we give you one-on-one coaching and things back and forth. But the main token is our job is to make sure you're doing well. We teach continuing education seminars. If you're not practicing and making money, you don't have any. So therefore, we have a vested interest. Please go to our website, hjrosscompany.com. On our website, we've got all of our upcoming seminars. We've got our network. We've got our coding manual. By the way, quick note, any one of you that have our coding manual, it's the new codes are already in there. But here's what I want to focus on today. Alex asked about it. I'm thinking, how do we learn to communicate effectively with your coding? Are there codes that help us with severity, medical necessity, or impairment? And this is where I think we're missing often for chiropractic, because we're so stuck in the old days of what our grandpas did, if you will. I mean, chiropractors now are so old. I'm a grandpa and I think of myself as young. I'm like, I don't think I'm so young anymore. That being said, it's also these codes, how do they relate to the care plan you're doing? Am I going to get any pushback? And at the end of the day, reimbursement depends on it, because they're looking to see, is this viable? So let me give you an example. Take a look at this claim. Here's a claim you can all see for medical payments coverage. And it says here, zero money. Why? The diagnosis reported by the provider may represent a condition occurring as a result of a motor vehicle accident. So they're saying it could, but, or it could be an unrelated problem. Therefore, it's not very clear and we're not going to pay you. We want more information. And so the one thing I'm going to emphasize to you is give trauma. It's a trauma-related case. So here's the diagnosis for this case. These are actually, I would say, good diagnosis. Subluxation, disc, radiculopathy, stenosis, and some more subluxation, all upper back. I like it. But here's the problem. How do I know that happened in an accident? I don't. I have no idea. Could we all get subluxation without a traumatic injury? And I'm just going to say this, and again, my dad will probably, you know, strike me down at some point. Subluxation, folks, does not help you. It doesn't give any severity. So if you went to a room full of chiropractors and said, my patient has a subluxation, how many visits do they need? Philosophically, we can all argue a lot, but realistically, does everyone have subluxation? A little bit. Does it equal care? Now, does it help you identify a region? I'll say that. Now, you look at the next one and go, Sam, come on. A displaced disc and a degenerated disc. Well, let's go with displaced disc. Can you get a displaced disc from not having trauma? Are there people who have a displaced disc that go, I don't know what happened, it's just hurting? So it's not always directly related. And certainly if you say disc degeneration, it's like, I'm bald. That didn't happen overnight. It took time. You know, when I was in my 20s, I had a big full head of hair. Now it's all gone.
Sam, so this is new information. I assume that you've always been bald and you were born that way.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. You know what bald does for me? Everyone thinks I'm way younger than I am because I'll be 61 in a few weeks. And everyone goes, wow, you look so good. I'll tell you what, shave your head because no one knows if you're gray.
Yeah, but Alex is 56 and look how good he looks.
Happy Christmas, Sean. Okay, but here's kind of my point to this. Degeneration is important and it's a complication comorbidity, but did the accident cause it? We don't know. Ridiculopathy, I will say probably, but how about using a code that talks about traumatic ridiculopathy? How about give me a code with stenosis? So here's kind of my point. This is where some people go. Take a look at these codes. These are causation codes. So you'll see this first code says V43.51XA. It's the driver of a car in a sport utility vehicle injured in a traffic accident, or 61, you're the passenger. Now, here's what I would ask you. If I give you that diagnosis, how much care does the patient need? You literally have no idea. They may need none. Now, here's my point to it. Someone involved in a car accident, what does AAA or whoever you're dealing with already know? It's a car accident. You're not giving them anything new. Therefore, that doesn't help. And I'm pointing this out. You're all familiar with Lori Loughlin. I put this because Sean and I both have a lot of connection to USC. I knew this was coming, Sean, because my son, you know, he was an athlete at SC. He was a track scholarship. He had a class with a young woman that was a sitcom star, not related to this one, but a different one. This is circa 2011. And when you're at USC, you get a very specific backpack that only athletes get. This young girl had one. And my son's like, how did you get that? And she's like, oh, I'm on the crew team. Now, she was the daughter of a pretty famous person. And I knew, how could she be on crew? Here's what I'm pointing out. Lori Loughlin and her husband, who are probably very nice people, I'm sure. Here's what they are, though, diagnosis. Z62.1, parental overprotection. You got to let your kids sink or swim at some point. You can't do everything. Now, here's the opposite of a parent who's never there. Z62.0. But my point is, what does this say about care? It says nothing. So here's what we got to start with. What is happening in an accident is going to be traumatic. I think every single one of those codes that you just saw are important and part of it, but what does it need to start with? Sprain and strain, meaning your simple thoracic, lumbar, cervical sprains and strains. Now, here's going to be my emphasis. A sprain means joint or ligament. A strain means muscle. But both. Why? Because it's both. One is more severe, going to last longer, and it's going to start with an A designation. You've all seen that. I'm not giving you anything new. So you're going to go S134XXA. That means an acute and active care with all these other things. Now, let's talk about that. Think about it, Sean. You and Alex are attorneys, not doctors. So I'm asking you a question just as a layperson, though you have a lot of knowledge here. If someone had a strain sprain by itself, what do you think for severity comparative to a sprain strain with radiculopathy, disc displacement, and degeneration? Does that sound a lot different to you?
It sounds substantially different. One as opposed to run of the mill that can almost happen if you get out of bed the wrong way. And the other one sounds like it's a high traumatic inducement.
Exactly. So notice what we've done is we've used the same codes they used with that trauma, and it ends all of that issue of how is it related to the accident. Because here's what insurance companies do. They're looking to see, is there something else that may have related to this that causes them to think maybe it's, you know, not us. So I'm going to also say when someone's been involved in an accident, I want to code traumatic headaches. I don't want to code a headache. Why? Because a headache means that's just something they've gotten. I wanted to relate that they were having no headaches before this accident, and now it's traumatic headache. Now, further than that, let's just say you do have a person with a disc and all these things. How long does that patient take to get better? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say with a young person, probably 6 weeks, and that's everything's working perfect. But let's throw in all this other stuff. That's where all of a sudden now you're going, well, Sam, that could take 12 weeks. It could take 6 months. We all know, and you know this from physiology, to fully heal a ligament takes a year. Now, 80 to 90% of that does happen within the first 6 months, but it's not fully healed. So here's the other part I want to talk about. One of the issues attorneys have to deal with is damages. And this is where we have to bring it up. This is why attorneys bring in doctors or experts, because if they could just go to court and say they know everything, why would they ever bring an expert? So they got to bring an expert in. You're the expert. When you're diagnosing a patient with an acute sprain strain, let's say after 3 months, after 4 months, this person is still experiencing, man, I still got a lot of reduced range of motion. I have pain. I have muscle spasm. You name it. What are we coding then? Is it still an active strain sprain? I would say at that point, maybe not. Maybe there's some sequelae. So you're all familiar with the sprain strain codes, the S at the end. So I'll give this example. You've all seen the show Judge Judy or something like it. And you see how it works. Every person goes in there and says, I want $10,000 because that's the limit of the policy or limit of the court. And then, of course, Judge Judy says, well, what are your damages? And, of course, the damages are $1,000. So Judge Judy bangs the gavel and goes, okay, you get $1,000. So here's what I'm pointing out. Think of the damages to your patient. How many of your patients you do a really good job with? You're taking care of them. But then even after 4 or 5 months, while they're a lot better, they still have residual issues that you're just kind of waxing and waning. They're not getting any better, but not getting any worse and without care. Now, here's where you use sequelae. Now, sequelae means there's residual factors, but now you diagnose those. So I want you to write two codes down. The first code is M as in Mary, 2428. M2428. And what that code is specifically for is ligament laxity of the spine. So take a person involved in a moderate or moderate severe whiplash. If you do the proper x-rays, which are going to be flexion extension, according to the studies, more than 50% of those patients will have enough of a tear to that ligament that the joint now is no longer functioning biomechanically correctly. The way to diagnose that is that if they have more than 1 millimeter of translation, so that means the vertebra is moving more than a millimeter, which means it's wobbly. So if you have an unstable shoulder, ever seen that person with the unstable shoulder that every now and then they'll do something, oh, my shoulder went out, and they hit it against a wall to knock it back in, there's a lot of dysfunction there, a lot of degeneration. Without you coding that, it doesn't exist. So you've got to go beyond the straight strains and sprains, but what are the residual factors? So that's one of them. M2428, which is ligament laxity. Do flexion extension x-rays. You'll be shocked how quickly you'll see it. You want to know why most people have probably pain, in my opinion, 6 months after an accident, a year? It's that, but no one looked for it. It's like if you don't look for it, it doesn't exist. Well, let's say I want you to write another code down, or actually a series of codes. It's going to be M99.81 through M99.84. And what that code is for a biomechanical lesion, and one is for cervical, two for thoracic, and it goes down the spine. And what that is for, though, is that when a patient has a full laxity, M2428, but how many of your patients have where they're not a full laxity, but there's maybe 0.5 or 0.3 of translation, which still means it's unstable? That is the sequelae that means that this patient has a much more severe injury. So I bring this back to the attorney now. When an attorney can go in and show that there's these damages, that this patient needs residual care, here's what we've all done historically for chiropractic. We write a prognosis that almost means nothing, frankly. We write that this patient, because of the injury, is going to have residual factors because of scar tissue, that the area is not going to be as strong, more prone to degeneration, and hence they'll need ongoing care. That's certainly a true statement, but it doesn't mean much because, let's face it, are they reading your reports? No, they're looking at your diagnosis, because if it's important in the report, there's a diagnosis. That's where the ligament laxity and biomechanical lesion come in. Those have value because that means there's something really wrong, and that's the prognosis. The other factor is just thinking of telling the story, all the things that can be going on. Yes, most people have pretty significant sprain strains, But I want you to think of all the other things that go along in there. Think of curvature changes. How many patients, when you take an x-ray after an accident, have a straightening of the lordosis, lipping, spurring, eburnation? None of that exists without a code. So I want you to think along the lines of, when you're making a diagnosis for a PI claim, are you painting, finger painting like a kindergartner, or doing a Monet, or are you giving a Rembrandt? Now, I want to be careful. A Rembrandt doesn't need a million codes, but codes that tell me something. Like if you tell me there's neck sprain and neck pain, that doesn't help me. But neck sprain, radiculopathy, spondylosis, that's a different animal. So think along the lines of personal injury as, always know the insurance company is looking to minimize it. You have to make sure that, I'm not saying maximize, but give the correct. So here's what an insurance does. They look and go, this is an uncomplicated claim. You have to put what's complicated. Now, don't throw in a bunch of just lazy diagnosis, but give me the real reasons they're there. If you do that, that's where PI will be your friend. And it means this is why the person's doing rehab for 6 months. And that's something, Sean, out there that we'll do when we get to your seminar. We're going to have a big rehab section on that for you this year. Alex, yes.
I just got to harp on it, reinforce. I mean, we're talking about damages. And I know that, I mean, we didn't rehearse this, but you and I have always been simpatico here. The future damages, and we have this term, we call them superhero docs, right? The end of a case comes, we get the final report, patient's fine. No future diagnosis, no link, no residual damages, no, they're 0 out of 10 pain, they're fine. Everything's fine, everybody's fine. Except for that whole part where they were in a rollover, and I'm like, No way this person's fine. And not only no way are they fine, but no way are they gonna be fine forever and ever. And that's what you're saying if you submit a report that has none of those future damages codes. I mean, that's the legal way of saying, I think, the sequelae that you were talking right. about is just future damages. You've got to leave open the possibility that this person's, you know, that 1 millimeter wobble you're talking about, that rears its ugly head 6 months, a year, 2 years from now and causes them pain, which it very well might. There's not going to be any money for them for that if you don't diagnose it, if you don't put the code in there and give us some ammunition on the attorney side to go to the adjusters, to go to the opposing counsels and say, hey, no, this person's not all better now. They're going to need future medical treatment throughout the course of their life. Maybe not a ton, but some, because of this accident they were in. And look, here's my backup. I'm not just saying it. My client's not just saying it. We've got a chiropractor here who coded it. It's right here. It's right in the report. So that stuff is invaluable, both for your patients, for the attorneys, and for getting your bills paid, because that's how we get that little extra money in, even if it's only another $1,000, $5,000, something we can add on to the case that gives us that padding that lets us pay the chiropractor's bill.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a little selfish in that. I want to make sure I can give you as much as I can to make sure no one cuts my bill.
Right.
And so in a way, I'm being selfish, but I'm also just saying I want to be correct to give the patient. Why do you think most people in their 50s have degeneration in their spine? It's not just life, but all those traumas they've had throughout their life lead towards that. You throw a big car accident trauma in there, it changes everything. And then that person's going to go, man, I've never been the same. I mean, think of an athlete who gets all of this care around the clock. Are they ever actually the same? Is LeBron the same after those injuries? Let's settle down. He's still such a superhuman athlete. He's good. He's not the same. What do you think your average Joe has? So you have the power to make that change, but I'm going to say I need to give the attorney power by giving them ammunition. You can't say there's residuals. Right. We have to give you the ammunition so you can show it.
Sam, on that note, we got about a minute left. First of all, it's just a little time. We appreciate it. We're going to get this. We have it recorded. We're going to be sending everybody copies. It'll be on our website for free and for fun. We're going to post it on YouTube because, you know, everybody here looks so great. But the content's amazing. But also, I got two chiropractors I'm sending this to for the MedPay problem. They're not getting paid MedPay because they can't code correctly. And you've just nailed it with that slide earlier. If you're not going to go and explain it's an auto accident and how severe the injuries are, you're giving a great excuse for the MedPay carrier not to pay. And this is a very common problem we have. And so that helps a great deal. Sam, how does anybody reach you or get a hold
of you? In fact, I'm glad you brought it up. Let me bring up something here. It's going to be this. And what I want everyone to do me a favor. go to our webpage. Here's the H.J. Ross site. We've got our network service where we can give you one-on-one help. I'm going to recommend go to our Facebook page. Please give me a like, because what we do is send out information. So let me show you what we've done just recently. I'm going to go to our news section. In our news section, here's something that many people are going to say, uh-oh, the VA is mandating COVID vaccines if you're treating VA patients. How about what modifiers to use? How to build therapeutic? I've got a library of information for you to access to help you. So go to our site. Our site also has, you can go to Facebook. I have videos. But to get hold of me, just send me an email. Go to our main site. Just go to hjrosscompany.com. Again, I'll go here. We've got our seminars, all the ones that are coming up. Sean will be at many of these upcoming dates here. The beauty is we're going to do them virtually, which means you can go anytime. We're going to do our first live seminar in October in Northern California. But the beauty of a virtual, just like this, you can get a lot of information with keeping it convenient and fast. And I think we've all learned Zoom has helped us with that. It doesn't mean we won't meet live again, but it means there's places you can get access. So go to the Facebook page, give me a like there, take a look. We're always here to help. And if nothing else, just go take a look at our news section. You're going to go, oh my God, I can't believe it. Like, I bet some of you are wondering, how come I got denied with the GP modifier? Nothing to do with PI, but there's all those things we have to deal with. Sean is the PI person though. Let me tell you, if you got a claim, they'll evaluate it. For I've had a number of them say, well, I don't like Sean because he wouldn't take the claim. Well, guess what? It was a bad claim. And so he was kind of letting you know you can take this, but it's a stinker. And that's part of what you have to realize. Let a team of professionals help you. I've always worked with this starts back from a long time ago. I think Sean was just finishing law. My dad was practicing. We dealt with so many cases with Sean, and they always worked out because he's somebody that is pro-doctor. He's pro his patient or his client, but he's making sure everyone is fair. And I'm sure because from Sean's standpoint, if he cheats a chiropractor, he's probably looking for him getting struck down just like me if I do something that way as well. So I'm going to say to you guys, thank you very much. I really, really enjoy these. But I'll say to all of you, look at the amount of data and information. And I just go to Sean's site. If you're going, what do I need to do? There's a section there to file a small. I had someone yesterday, I kid you not, that was having issues on small claims. So I walked them through a little bit. And you know what I finally said? Let me show you. Go to Sean's site. And I said, go here because it walks you through. We're here to help. Trust me, we want you to be paid because without you, we don't exist either.
Sam, you pretty much stuck directly to the script we gave you. I couldn't have read it. I couldn't have read it any better.
I want to thank Dr. Joe Stroud from Hawaii joining us. Gordon Lamb from Ridgecrest. I see Mark and Mary and Nick and Cece and Stephanie. And I see a lot of good friends here. We had a good crowd that joined us. Doctors, we'll have this online. We'll be doing this in 30 days. And Alex will be setting that up. And next is going to be
Dr. Murphy, August.
Now, our good friend, Dr. Murphy, who teaches at Palmer West. So that's going to be exciting.
And ladies and gentlemen, I got to force this off. We're 3 minutes over. We never go over, but I want to thank Sam Collins. I want to thank Sean. This will be available as a podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, it'll also be available on YouTube. Sam, Sean, thank you guys so much.
All right. Great, guys. Good to be with you. Take care, fellas.
Bye-bye.